Open your Bibles with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 147. Psalm 147. And tonight we are going to talk about another attribute of God. This time, as you have heard already this evening, we're going to talk about the infinity of God, or the infinitude of God. Psalm chapter 147, and beginning in verse 1. And if you would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the words of our God? The psalmist writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite." Let's pray together. Father God, we come before you tonight, and Lord, we as the finite are overwhelmed by the invitation of the infinite God to come into your presence boldly and to receive grace and help in our time of need. And so, Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us tonight just a glimpse of your infinitude. Lord, we'll never, ever fully understand or grasp this. But Lord, we receive it and we rejoice in these truths. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And when you hear the word infinity, or the word infinitude, or infinite, what comes to mind? Now, because I have children the ages of my children, and when my kids grow up, this is the first thing that comes to mind for me. If you don't know who this is Buzz Lightyear. And he is not a toy. He is an authentic superhero. And when Buzz comes on the scene, you know Buzz's tag, or his phrase that he likes to say. What does he say? "To infinity and beyond." That's right. And so that's just the first thing that comes to mind when I think of the word infinity. So the promise of Buzz Lightyear is that he would be unbounded in his abilities to help you in your time of need. What else do I think of? I think of a certain brand of car. So there is a certain brand of car that is, I think it's owned by, actually, Nissan makes this particular brand. It is their high-end brand called Infinity, but in this particular line of vehicles, they are promising you infinite driving excitement if you have one of these vehicles in your garage. Personally, I only care that my car turns on, gets good gas mileage, and gets me from point A to point B. That's all I really care about when it comes to vehicles. Is it reliable and will it get the job done? Now, being a former chemist and mathematician, I also think about these things. When I think about infinity, I think about math problems like this that I might have used to have had to solve in my collegiate day. So, for example, this particular function, when the what is the limit as x approaches infinity for this particular function? That means as you go as far right on the x-axis as you possibly can go, or even impossible to go, but as far right as you can go, what happens in this particular function is that the limit approaches 4. So that's what it's talking about. When infinity in mathematics is simply larger and larger and larger and larger and larger and larger and larger beyond 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 where we could ever go without any ending. And that gives us an idea about what this concept of infinity is. In mathematics, infinity is defined as an unbounded quantity that is greater than any real number. Now, that word that I found in that mathematical dictionary, actually Mathematica website, but that word that that I found there, that word unbounded, I think gives us a lot of understanding in what we are saying when we are saying that God is infinite. That word unbounded helps us to understand what this concept of infinity is all about, or the infinitude of God. When we say Buzz Lightyear is infinity and beyond, we say he is unbounded in his ability to change situations when he shows up. Nissan promises to unbind you from an ordinary driving experience. And for us tonight, the important thing for us is that our God has revealed himself to us as an infinite God. He knows no bounds. When we talk about God, when we say that God is infinite, we are saying that there is nothing in all of creation that can place any limit on God. When we say that God is infinite, we are saying that there is no creature or anything in all creation that can place any limits on God. That God in all of his attributes is unbounded by anything in creation or any being in creation. There's nobody or anything in all of creation that can place limits on our God. When we say that God is infinite, we are saying that God is the ultimate standard of all of his revealed attributes. God is the standard. No, and everything else in all of creation is measured by the ultimate standard, which is our God. And there is none beside him. Now, we think about God, we want to be very careful when we speak of God as infinite. When we think of God as infinite, God is only limited by his own nature and only by himself, not by anything in creation. Now, what do I mean by that? I just said that God limits himself. I need to be very clear when I say that. It may surprise you to think of this concept that God is self-limiting. Now, here's what I mean by that, and here's what scripture and theologians mean by that. God only does what is consistent with all of his attributes. God only does what is consistent with all of his attributes. He only does what is wise, for example. So there is nothing that God does, thinks, acts, or has ever done or ever will do that we could ever or could ever be characterized as unwise. So there is a limit or a boundary, if you will. God has declared that everything that he does is wise. In fact, he is the very definition of what wisdom is. Loving is another example of that. Everything that God does, even as we have sung tonight, is loving. And he is infinitely loving. He never does anything that is not loving. God is infinite in his righteousness. And there is not one thing that he has ever done, not one thought that he has ever had, not one unrighteous aspect to who God is and his actions. We could go on and on. God is holy. There is no unholiness in God. God is limited to only doing what is holy. Nothing he has ever done is unholy. He is wise, and nothing he has ever done is ever foolish. So we need to be very careful when we talk about the infinitude of God. And what we don't mean to say when we say God is infinite, we are not saying that God is infinitely all things. To say that God is infinitely all things would not be Christianity. That would be something else called panentheism. Panentheism, which means that God is above all things and in all things and through all things and is all things. Now, the pew you are sitting in is not God. And certainly you are not God as well. So when we say God is infinite, we are not saying that everything is God. But what we are saying is all that God is and all that how God defines himself, all of his attributes he possesses without any kind of limitation placed upon him by his creation. So with that distinction, what we're saying when we're saying God is infinite is really just is basically two things. Number one, no creature can place limits on God. And number two, God's attributes are unbounded, supremely perfect, and without any flaws. And so how should we think about this word infinite? I think one of the best ways to think about the word infinite or God's nature being infinite is to just break that word apart into its two components, infinite or not finite. And so when we think about God as infinite, we are saying he is not finite. He is in many ways opposite that we are. We are finite. We experience life in this world as finite beings. But God is not limited by, or he is unbounded by our limitations. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to structure the majority of our time tonight by thinking about ways in which we are finite and God is infinite. How we are limited, but God is unlimited. I'm going to give you five of these ways in which we experience finiteness, but God is infinite. The first is this: we are finite in time, but God exists in infinite timelessness. Now, we will not camp out here very long because we talked about this attribute last week. And really, in some ways, God's infinitude is a summary attribute that actually summarizes many of his other attributes that we'll talk about in the weeks to come. But of course, last week we talked about how God is eternal. We are finite in time, but God exists in infinite timelessness. Think about this. Your life can be and will one day be summarized by two dates separated with a dash. And your decision with your life is, what do you do with your dash? Isn't that true? What are you going to do with your dash? And yet, when we think about God, God has no dash. He is limitless. He has no beginning date and he has no expiration date. He is Lord over time and exists above time and through all of time. But think about how limited we are by time. Psalm chapter 90, verse 10 through 12 says this: the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble, and they are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. We are bounded by time. I'm reminded of that every single Sunday morning when I have more to say, but it's 12 o'clock and I need to land the plane, right? James chapter 4, verse 14 says it this way: you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. We are like puff of smoke in the wind, this passage would say. You're reminded of, even our culture understands this. I'm a fan of country music. Surprise, surprise. And hey, I got the country music fan back there. Amen. One of my one of the guys I like to listen to, not every one of his songs do I recommend, but Kenny Chesney talks about this idea of our finitude in one of his songs. It's called Don't Blink. And here's what it says. It says, don't blink. Well, actually, the point of the song is this. He is watching a morning television show, a morning news show, and there's a guy on there that is just turning 102 years old. And he's being interviewed, and he's saying, what advice would you give as someone who just turned 102 years old? And the song is about the advice that this guy gave in his interview. And it goes like this. The chorus goes like this. Don't blink. Just like that, you're 6 years old, and you take a nap, and you wake up, and you're 25. And your high school sweethearts become your wife. Don't blink. You just might miss your babies growing like mine did. Turning into moms and dads. And the next thing you know, that your better half of 50 years is there in bed. And you're praying God takes you instead. Trust me, friend. 100 years goes faster than you think. Don't blink. There's some wisdom in that song. You know, 100 years, I've only lived for 41, almost 42. Wow, that goes by fast. And some of y'all would say, just wait. This next 42 is going to go on faster than that. And wisdom is numbering our days aright so that we can gain a heart of wisdom. We gain wisdom by considering the reality of our limits and our finitude. You will one day die. You will not last forever. Your eternity is dependent upon what you do with your dash. Every day counts. Every second is like a precious jewel. And meaning is in life is found by when a person bounded by time connects to the infinite God who is not bounded by time. The way our finite beings can gain significance in wisdom in this life is when we connect ourselves with the infinite God, not bounded by our time. You know, I think another aspect of our finitude of time is the reality that we all have to set priorities in our lives. You can't do everything. There is a limit to the number of hours that we have in a day. There is a limit to the number of things that we can accomplish. You cannot do everything. And we are reminded by that every single day because most of us spend a third of our lives unconscious because we sleep 8 hours or six or five or however many you get. We sleep a significant part of our lives. We are bounded by time, but the good news of our God is that God is unbounded by time. He is infinite with respect to time. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18 says this, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." That is our infinite God. A second aspect of how we are finite and yet God is infinite is this. We are finite in space, but God is unbound by spatial limitations. And we call this the omnipresence of God. And we will have a full sermon here in a few weeks on the omnipresence of God. But I just want to give you an introduction to that. We are bound spatially. We can only be in one place at one time. I can't be physically here and in Virginia and in Azerbaijan all at the same moment. I am bounded by this physical body, and I am here in this room at this particular time. I am bounded by space. Acts chapter 17, verse 26, God says that God has determined this about us, about this aspect of our finitude. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined the allotted periods and boundaries for their dwelling places. Now, don't we try to challenge? We try to challenge this today in some ways with electronics. And that with our cell phones, in so many ways, we try to be in more than one place at once. In fact, one commentator, one author says electronics is actually becomes extensions of ourselves, extensions of our memories, extensions of our minds, and in some ways, extensions of our beings. Now, what does he mean by that? How many of you actually know your mom's phone number? Not some of you do, but I have no clue what my mom's phone number is. Her phone number on my phone is Mom. And when I want to call Mom, I just call. In fact, I don't even dial it anymore. I just push. Actually, I just say, "Hey Siri, call Mom," and and she does it. So I have no clue. If I lost my phone and needed to get a hold of my mom, I would have to ask one of my children or somebody else. What is my mom's number? I have no idea. Why? Because this device has become an extension of my finite memory. And so I have stored what I used to store here. I remember my phone number when I was a little kid, 663-7283. I remember that. That was when I was like 5 years old. I have that stored here, but I have no idea what my mom's cell phone number is because I store it now in a device that's an extension of myself. But even with that, even with those memory aids, we are still finite. One application of our finiteness with regards to spatial limitations that we cannot live beyond our physical selves is this: be where you are. God has made it so that you can only be in one place at one time. And so let me encourage you, be where you are. You know what I mean by that? I mean by that, I even feel this temptation in my own life, in my own soul. When I'm sitting at a restaurant or I'm with somebody, isn't it so often easy to not be where you are? One aspect of our finiteness is to be where we are. Only God is unbounded from space. God knows no limitations when it comes to space. God is infinite when it comes to space. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere present, and He is even present beyond space as we know it. This three-dimensional universe that we occupy, that we live in. God is omnipresent. And when we are saying God is omnipresent, we are saying that He is equally present everywhere. Psalm chapter 139, verse 7 through 10 says this: "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your hand shall hold me." One of the encouragements of the reality that our God is infinite as regards to space is there is not one place you can go in the entire universe where you will be separated from the presence of God. God is with you. He is a very present help in trouble. Praise our infinite God who is infinite with regards to space. He knows no spatial limitations. Number three, we are finite in power. We are finite in power. God is unbounded in His power and ability. We'll study this when we study the attribute of God known as His omnipotence. God is all powerful. You and I, we are characterized by weakness, aren't we? Tonight, my prayer is that all of us are able to go to sleep. Some nights it's tough when the wind is blowing like it does sometimes around here. Still getting you. I thought it blew in Oklahoma, but I think they got the state wrong when they sang the song about the wind comes sweeping down the plains. Of course, it's not really plains here, but you know what I mean. We are all characterized by weakness. We have to sleep. We are finite in our power and in our abilities, and we are all characterized by need. We need sleep, we need food, we need rest, we need air. We need all of these things in order to exist. We need, and we are limited in our abilities. I know this, and I experience this every single time I go to the gym. Every time I go to the gym, I run and I try to get to that 3.1 miles, that 5K. I'm trying to get there, trying to train for that. And I don't always make it. And usually about 2.5, I am feeling tired and I want to hit the stop button and get off of this torture machine they call the treadmill that the Mark at the gym told me I need to get on. Mark is a Presbyterian. He's my friend. So, but he tries to torture me at the gym. So. He reminds me of my finiteness every time I go in there. There's a limit to my power. I cannot possibly lift all of the weights that are available at the gym. Mama used to remind me of my finiteness regularly when she used to say, "Son, we don't have an infinite money supply around here. Money doesn't grow on trees." Amen. And so I say that to my kids too. We are limited in our power. We are limited in our resources. We are limited. You are limited by what you can handle in life, aren't you? You know, there's a limit of what we can really take on. There's a limit to what we can handle in our lives and in our world. Most of us know the feeling of exhaustion. Most of us know the feeling of helplessness when we come to the end of ourselves and we can't go on anymore. But the good news of the gospel of our God, and God is the gospel, by the way. The good news of the gospel is God gives us Himself and He makes us a way so that we can approach God and have a relationship with Him. The good news that God is the gospel is that while we are finite in power and we run out of strength, God is boundless in power and ability. His strength is perfect and He will never, ever, ever, ever run out of power or ability to help you. He is an ever-present help in trouble. He is an all-powerful God and there is nothing that is beyond Him. His abilities are infinite. Jeremiah chapter 32 verse 17 says this, "Ah, Lord God," and I got to do it in the King James, "Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. By Thine outstretched arm, You have created all things." Think about that. Nothing is too difficult for our God. And God allows us and calls to us and even commands us to call out to Him in our day of trouble, in our time of need, knowing that there is an infinite resource of power available to us in our God. His infinite resources are available to every single one of us through prayer, if we will just call out to Him. It's good news that our God is infinite. Amen? Amen. Number four, we are finite in knowledge and wisdom, but God is unbounded in knowledge and wisdom. When we say that God is infinite in knowledge, we are saying that He is omniscient. God knows all things. There is not one thing in this world that God does not know. In fact, I would even argue that there is not one thing possible in this world, actual or possible in this world, that God does not know completely. And that is astounding to me to think about. God is not only infinite in His knowledge, God is infinite in His wisdom as well. God is infinite in His wisdom. And there's a word that actually corresponds to that as well. It's the word omnisapient. The word omnisapient simply means this: God is infinite in His wisdom. I want to compare this to the amount of data that we have available to us today. Let me give you some examples of the amount of information that is available to us right now. Google processes 24 petabytes of data every day. That is actually 1,000 times the quantity of all of the information in the U.S. Library of Congress. And Google processes that amount of information every single day. Facebook has 10 million new photos updated to it every hour. Be where you are, right? Okay. And has a like or comment added 3 billion times per day. Twitter has exceeded 400 million tweets every day. Researchers at the University of California at Berkeley estimate that 5 quintillion bytes of data are produced every 2 days, which is actually equal to all of the information ever produced by every conversation that has ever taken place on the planet. So the amount of information that is available today is astounding, but it is, I was going to say a drop in the bucket, but that would be too much compared to the infinite knowledge of our God. All of the data, all of the information we have available today is nothing compared to the wisdom and knowledge of our God, which knows no bounds. You could read, you could learn, you could study for thousands of years and never come close to the extent of the knowledge and the wisdom of our God. One of the things my supervisor told me as I was beginning to write my dissertation, he said, the effect of you writing your dissertation will be this: you will recognize by the end of this dissertation how much you don't know. And I am thankful for that. I think Socrates said, true knowledge is knowing that you know nothing. And so I'm full of that kind of knowledge and wisdom. So I'm fully aware of the lack of my knowledge. But God's wisdom and God's knowledge is infinite. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 says it like this: for whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. There's not one thing that God doesn't know. Now, I want to unpack all of the implications of that. We'll do that when we have the sermon on omniscience. But I just want to whet your appetite for that. Number 5, we are finite in love and grace, but God is unbounded in His perfections when it comes to His love and grace towards us. And when we love one another, our love is imperfect. It's something that we all need to grow in. We talked about that this morning, that we all love imperfectly and we have to grow in our love towards each other. We have to work hard on that every single day. But God is unbounded in His love and grace. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3 says this: I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39 says this: for I am sure that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, God is infinite in His love. He is infinite in His grace. But He has also set this limit on the experience of His love and His grace. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is He offers His infinite love and grace full and free to you. But it is only found for you if you respond to Him and to His gospel and to the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the grave. That is the pathway to experiencing God's love and God's grace, boundless, full, and free. And I ask you, have you experienced that love and grace in your life? Think about this. God, because God is infinite in His perfections, there is no change in God. And that is a good segue into what our brother is going to share with us next week. Amen? He is the God who changes not. Because someone who is infinite in His perfection has no need to change. And if He were to change, He would become something less than what He already is. Praise be to our God. There's many other attributes that we could talk about tonight that God has in unbounded fashion. His sovereignty, His goodness, His faithfulness, His mercy, His holiness, His righteousness. All of these are infinite. But you know, one place where we see the infinitude of our God in rich and living color is this. We see our God's infinity at the cross. Because at the cross, we see God's unbounded and infinite ability to save sinners like you and like me. Praise be to our God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You that You are the unbounded, You are the infinite, You are the infinite God. And Lord, we rejoice that in the cross You were unbounded in pouring out Your love and Your grace and Your mercy towards us who believe. Your justice was satisfied. The payment was made in full, that infinite payment that needed to be made for our sins, bringing infinite offense to an infinitely holy God. And yet Your love and mercy towards us extends in infinite fashion through Christ's sacrifice. And Lord, we thank You that we will spend all of eternity exploring new avenues and wonders of Your infinitude. And tonight we just come before You in awe and just say, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, God, for all that You are. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. And when we went in tonight with an invitation, and I want to say, if you need to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, why don't you respond tonight and place your faith in Christ? Or if you need to recommit your life to Christ and just maybe you realize His infinite, unbounded resources are available to you. His love, His grace, His power, His wisdom. Why don't you come back to Jesus tonight? Or maybe there's another response that you need to make, but we all need to respond in praise to our God. So why don't we stand and let's sing as we respond together.